when I first was told that I was going to be able to participate in this conference, I thought the country was pronounced Lesotho, not Lesotho, and that was kind of the beginning of all of my misunderstandings. I didn't have a clue where it was, and I'm sure not many of you do either. It's down there in the very southern part of Africa. It's actually a country that's nested within South Africa, completely surrounded by South Africa, but it's a separate country. It became an independent country in 1966. Prior to that, it was a British protectorate. It became a protectorate in the late 19th century, but the homeland itself, is this working? It's called Basutu land because the people there are, they're called the Basutu. The area was formed as a result of dispersions and displacements and aggressions by the Boers and by some hostile Zulu tribes, beginning in the early 19th century up until the middle 19th century. The area was formed and it became a British protectorate at that time. We learned, or I learned certainly, that you don't refer to it as a former colony, that people are very proud of the fact that it never was a colony, even though there are many vestiges of what seems to be familiar, and this turns off quickly, kind of colonial occupation. The native language is English as well as Sesotho. The native religion is Christianity. Before the British came, it was nature worship or animism. Lesotho, because of its geography, it's very mountainous, and it has no natural resources except for water, which is one of the reasons it never became a colony. There really was nothing there to exploit. It was an inhospitable environment because of the mountains. So it was pretty immune from the devastations of apartheid. As a matter of fact, many of the rebel leaders fled South Africa and took refuge in Lesotho during the apartheid era. This is just a geographical map that shows you how mountainous the country really is. This is what it looks like, at least the part where we were working. We were in these rural mountain villages, and that's where we did most of the work there. I'm just going to show you some pictures just to get a taste of what the place looks like and what the people look like and what it kind of feels like and sounds like there. Nothing happens, it just is blowing in the wind. Interesting, perhaps colonial vestige. When the English did were a colonial power, one of the things that they did, one of the reasons for their exploitations was to support their own textile industry in Manchester. So when they entered a place, they would take the raw materials, they would send it back to Manchester to become finished products and then sell it back to the indigenous population that where they had occupied, the colonial population or colonized population. This is typically a Lesotho blanket. It's manufactured actually in Manchester to this day and then sold back to the people there. This is the country or the population itself is recognized by the fact that they wear these blankets. So you see everyone walking, or not everyone, but most people walking around with blankets like this. Some children who were nearby where we were working. And this is the wife of a village chief. People live in villages. It's a subsistence agriculture. The population of the main city is 80,000 people or something, maybe. It's quite small. Most of the important decisions are made by tribal or village chiefs. And this is really the reason that we went there, our group. AIDS is an enormous issue, as it is in all of sub-Saharan Africa. You see signs like this up all over the place. This addresses the problem of orphans, which is an enormous problem there. And this is some of the information about the country. 85% of the economic activity is agricultural. It really is subsistence agriculture. I had no idea what that meant until I experienced it, no idea the level of poverty, what poverty meant until I experienced there. There's really no disposable income of any sort. There's nothing to buy. There's not economic activity going on. There's stores that have a few things in it in the rural areas. In the city, there's some stuff, but not when you go out of the city. And I'll talk a little bit about the university town. It's a very high literacy rate, which does not translate into any ability to generate any kind of income because there's nothing happening. 45% of the population is unemployed. The statistics just get worse. 25% chronically undernourished. When I was investigating the country before I went there, the life expectancy was 36 years old. By the time I came back, there were some new statistics that had come out that were updated that were 34 years old is the life expectancy in the country. The estimate is that 30% of the population is HIV positive. That they're old statistics because there's always a lag time. I don't like to get into a statistical comparison. A huge number of people are HIV positive. What that translates into in this room would be one out of every three of you would be HIV positive. If you were to have sex with each other, it would be a crapshoot. And if any of you were to be raped, it would be a death sentence. That's the reality of living there. And that final statistic, kind of the entire able-bodied living female population, not the entire, but 60% of the able-bodied female population is living with AIDS.